Ephesians 6, 10 through 11 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." What does it mean to put on the whole armor of God? How do we put on the armor of God? And what does that entail? So that is our discussion for today. Allie, you have done a lot of research on this. Tell us what all this is kind of about.
You read Ephesians 6, 10, and 11, but in Ephesians 6, 12, it basically tells us that everything is spiritual warfare. Mm-hmm. And you sent an article to me.
Yeah.
It kept referring to when you think that you're supposed to pray and, quote, do spiritual warfare. And people don't even usually know what that means, do spiritual warfare, and they think it's some kind of an aggressive, super loud praying kind of thing. And really, the armor of God is defensive. Mm-hmm. It's about being told to stand and basically to be solid in your place in the Lord.
Right.
It's not about aggressively going out and, you know, taking on attacks that maybe we're not called into. Mm-hmm. And so the only part of the armor of God that's not defensive is the sword of the Spirit. And basically that's leaning on Scripture to understand what we're told is actually our battle. And even Jesus did that when he was tempted in the wilderness.
Yeah.
He didn't fight in his own word. He leaned on Scripture. So that's the crux of understanding the armor of God, is understanding that really it's about finding our place in God and standing there.
Yeah. Right.
Allie, I love that you made the point that the armor of God is defensive and not offensive. One of the interesting things about the sword, as pictured in the word, is, you know, you've got this end time stuff happening in Revelation and all this crazy chaos that's going on. The way the enemy is defeated, the very tool by which the enemy is finally and forever defeated, is by the sword that is coming out of the mouth of Christ. That's one of the many reasons, I should say, why scholars link the biblical and extra-biblical literature mentioning the sword as a tool being the word of God. Yeah. What comes out of your mouth is very important.
Big time.
When I was doing some of the research, I think in the same article that I sent you, it was talking about how Ephesians 1 through 5, basically the platform, the foundation that gets you started before you can even get to the armor of God, because it's talking about who are you. It's that preparation. And if you understand who you are in Christ, then you can understand what it means to then put on the armor of God.
Ephesians 6:10 starts with the word finally.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you run across something like that in Scripture, it's kind of saying, so taking into consideration all of the things I've said, now I'm going to tell you this next thing.
Right.
You know, so
yes.
The word finally is actually really key.
The article also mentioned the 12 spiritual blessings in Ephesians 1 that are related to the armor in Ephesians 6. And so in Christ, you are blessed with every spiritual blessing. 2, chosen to be holy and without blame, predestined, adopted as sons, accepted and beloved, redeemed through his blood according to the riches of his grace, forgiven for your sins, given wisdom and understanding of his will, given an inheritance to bring praise and glory to God, sealed with the Holy Spirit, guaranteed of inheritance until your redemption is fulfilled. So again, wow, what a list of things that we have in Christ, and that helps build the platform for the armor of Christ. What are the different pieces and why are they so important?
Yeah, when you're in church and you're kind of singing little songs about it or whatever, you just think it's a lot of different things you wear. But when you really look at what they are, they all have a specific purpose.
Right.
So for example, loins being girt with truth. So this was in an era where a lot of their clothes were very loose flowing and it could be very cumbersome to travel. This was kind of like a belt that cinched it in and got it out of the way so that you could move more freely. So if you're thinking about connecting that to our idea of truth, think about like right now in the world, how hard it is to know what truth is, because postmodernism, we have redefined truth six ways from Sunday.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
We don't even know what truth is. If the truth is messy, and it's free flowing and it's in our way and we can't figure out what it is. If we have our loins girt with truth, it becomes very compact and it becomes very out of our way. I know what truth is right away and I can move very quickly from here to there because I don't have all this ambiguous fabric in the way trying to stop me and trip me up while I'm trying to move forward. So it's literally taking truth and having it close to your core, understanding immediately what it is so that it's not tripping you up as you try to move so that you can move quickly. And that's just the first piece. Is just being able to move quickly and identify truth and not have that ambiguous confusion as it pertains to truth stopping us up and keeping us from moving. In paintball, we have this tactical belt. So, and by the way, I have this paintball bruise. In case it shows up on camera, people be like, what's going on? So we have these tactical belts and we hook all these different things to them and it's carabiners. You have your extra paint in it and you have all these different things. It's a tactical belt. And if you don't have that on you, you can't move about freely. You're always getting tripped up by, you know, losing or you get out there and you don't have your paint on you because it fell out because you didn't have your tactical belt on. You know, so there's just a lot of things about the fact that it's really more like a belt. And I feel like that's really pertinent to our society right now with truth being so complicated.
Right.
You know, we have to be able to identify truth and cinch it in and get moving.
Yeah, it's not fluid.
No, it's not. You know, then the breastplate of righteousness, you know, the Bible tells us to guard our heart, and that's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
You know, it's the wellspring of life. It's what everything comes out of, which eventually all of that becomes our actions.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
And so guarding our heart is the most important thing, and that's a stationary piece of armor that's always over our heart.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, just look at society today, you know, what's feeding your heart and your soul. What is in there is what's going to come out.
Absolutely.
So that is why we have to be so protective with our kids, our marriages, with our life in general. And like Donna was saying, what comes out is what is inside of us. Yeah. So what is inside of us?
Of what you're taking in through
your
eyes that leads to your thoughts.
Be careful, little eyes,
exactly.
What you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear.
Helmet of salvation.
Yeah.
What comes out your mouth, what goes in through your ears and your eyes. I mean, the helmet of salvation, that's a huge part of that one.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, so it all ties together.
Yeah.
All of it is strategically placed because you have to protect your entire being.
It reminds me of, you know, we were talking about missionettes earlier because, you know, I've always taught littles. I didn't teach adults. I was the fun, let's do a visual flannel graph. Okay.
Cute.
And so we would take two oranges, beautiful, bright oranges, right? Mm-hmm. And get a big, clear vase, fill it full of water, and put both of the oranges in there. And they're just bobbing on the top, and they're all fun and, you know, just sitting there. And then I would take one of the oranges out with a potato peeler, and I'd start talking to them about, well, Mom asked me if I cleaned my room, and I didn't clean my room, but I told her I did so that I could watch that show. And then we'd peel a little bit of that that skin off, and we would continue to go through that in different scenarios of things that you might have watched. That Mom told you not to watch, but you went over to Bobby's house, and Bobby was watching it. You know, all of those kinds of things that deal with your eyes, what your thought life is, you know, your heart, guarding your heart, where your feet are going. So by the time the end of the lesson, this one orange looks really haggard. He looks rough. And I put him in the vessel, water. And he goes straight to the bottom. Mm-hmm. But the other orange, who has his full armor on, I can't sink him. He rises above. I can push him down, but he continues to rise above he's got that armor on. And the little girls would be like, oh, now can we eat the orange?
Okay. Okay, that's funny.
Okay.
That's so good.
But that's a very important thing. That seed has now been planted. Mm-hmm. That visual has been seen.
Yeah.
That's all very elementary.
Right.
But that's what we need. And the word of God is that simple.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to be where you have to have a master's degree in all of this stuff to understand the word of God. I actually watched Overcomer last night to get prepared for this.
Again.
If you haven't watched it, and if you haven't watched it for a while, go back and watch that movie. It is so convicting. I watched it with Nita, my 13-year-old, and I'm like, Nita, watch this one. Watch this one. Listen to this, because it is so convicting, and it ties really well into the whole armor of God, because part of the movie, if you haven't seen it, and I don't want to give too much away, but it's about this coach who the town is going down because the big plant that was there is closed down. So all the people are leaving because they have no more work. So they have to go where the work is. Well, he works for a Christian school that he's the basketball coach and they're supposed to have their best year yet. But then all of the families leave. He no longer has a basketball program. And now he has to switch over to cross country, which he's griping and belly aching about. Anyways, long story short, he starts teaching. This one girl shows up to cross country practice and she has asthma and she's not the fastest runner, but he works with her. It's a whole process that they go through. Again, if you haven't watched it, you really need to. Great movie for your entire family. All of you will get something out of it. Anyways, the principal ends up also talking to this little girl and telling her, go and read Ephesians 1 and 2, which is, as we mentioned, the baseline of who are you in Christ.
Right, your identity.
And she told her, start writing out, what does Ephesians 1 and 2 say that you are? Who are you outside of basketball? Yeah. Who are you outside of your
identity?
Exactly. Yeah. What is your identity? And so this comes directly from the movie, and this is what she came up with because of reading Ephesians 1 and 2. I am created by God. He designed me, so I am not a mistake. His son died for me just so I could be forgiven. He picked me to be his own, so I am chosen. He redeemed me, so I am wanted. He showed me grace just so I could be saved. He has a future for me because he loves me. I don't wonder anymore, Coach Harrison. I am a child of God.
Amen.
Yes, I love it. And that's the
that
only...
That speaks to what you were saying. You know, that's why, in the chaos of our lives, especially, I'm sure it's everywhere, ministry, whatever you're doing, moms, first things first. Right in the first beginning of the day to get your mind set, because chaos will come. In this life there is trouble. Mm-hmm. So it's coming,
It is coming.
So you've got to have that word in you to reset you after the previous day has drained you, So that's really imperative.
I like the analogy of the I am, though.
Yeah.
Because fill in the blank, I am loved.
Mm-hmm.
I am saved. I am created. That is a very important thing to do, is to sit down and to establish your identity. And I think my own personal experience is that I always don't do that. Because I'm called away to do this, and I go over here to take care of that, and I'm over there thinking this one. And before I know it, I don't even know what I've done at the end of the day and I got nothing.
Right.
And that's really not good. And so in preparing for this, the show has made me realize that, wow, you can wear parts of your armor.
Yeah.
But if you don't have your heart covered, or if you don't have your helmet on, or especially if you don't have the word, to which is your only... offensive, and all of that does then begin to help us really identify that it's not anything that we think we've done.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the things we've done throughout the day that define who we are.
That's exactly right.
It's who we are in Christ, and that is something that we don't have to think that we're ever going to lose that.
Right.
And I think sometimes because we don't do the things that we know we should, sometimes we get to where we feel like, okay, we've failed again today.
Yep.
Right.
And no matter how much you feel like you failed, you still are his.
Right.
You still are, I am loved,
yes.
What you just defined.
Absolutely. Well, and I think that too is where the full armor of God comes in. We have our full armor of God when we forget that I am chosen.
Right.
I am called. Because whether or not we believe it in our head, our heart knows it.
Right.
It's that disconnect, because they say whatever is in your heart, so are you.
Yeah.
But your head and your heart don't always agree. We have to keep reminding our head, you are chosen.
Right.
You are called. You are saved.
Yeah.
And that's where, when we're speaking it, it can kind of come out more so. Yeah.
Some of the stinking thinking that happens,
we are our own worst enemy.
Exactly. And it's not earning God's love by the things that I do.
Yeah.
Does God love me? Yes, but it's not because he has to. It's because that's the nature of his being. God is love.
Yes.
And I'm not getting rewarded, you know, like a dog that you're training with a treat if I'm doing good. He knows me. He created me.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
He knows I'm going to fail.
Right.
But yes. I am still held.
Mm-hmm.
I am still loved, and I am still his.
Right. And big one, I am forgiven.
Amen.
So you don't have to hold on to the guilt
that's right.
you're feeling. You can just shove that off because that's behind him. If you have asked for his forgiveness, that's all you need.
Yeah.
So basically everything you guys are talking about is the shield of faith.
Mm-hmm.
So the shield of faith is an extra piece of armor that you actually move. So, you know, the breastplate of righteousness is stationary, but the shield, you're moving around as you see the attack coming in or as a new thing is attacked.
Fiery darts.
You're moving it around to guard yourself. And knowing God's word and knowing how you use it in a defensive way, you know, to protect yourself from the incoming attacks, everything you're saying is the shield of faith.
Yeah.
On that note, we do have to take a very quick break. We'll be right back.
Start your brisk autumn morning off right with our cup of theology coffee, our hot tea, and a great read. In this exclusive fall package, you will receive the groundbreaking book, Radicals, by Reverend Donna Howell, that outlines how the body of Christ is headed towards a great spiritual awakening. The Simply His Cup of Theology Premium Ground Coffee, Lemongrass Ginger Loose Leaf Tea, and Donna's classy yet fun Simply His Orange Mug. Our Fair Trade Certified Organic Cup of Theology Medium Roast Coffee has hints of brown sugar and orange zest, making it a decadent and refreshing cup of coffee in our ceramic, sleek black exterior Simply His orange coffee mug with a 16-ounce capacity to get your day started off on the right note. You'll also receive our Simply His Thai Lemongrass Ginger Loose Leaf Tea filled with a tangy and herbal blend of light ginger and sweet citrus fruit notes. Our loose leaf teas are carefully crafted, so only the best delicious tea blends make it into your cup. Don't forget, all of our coffees and teas are clean and organically ground. This is important as most coffees and teas are considered to be some of the dirtiest consumables when it comes to chemicals like glyphosate, herbicides, and pesticides. In the revolutionary book, Radicals, Why Tomorrow Belongs to Post-Denominational Christians, infused with supernatural power, best-selling author Reverend Donna Howell speaks of how we, as the followers of Christ, are radicals for God when we truly follow His voice. In this book, you will learn modern trials facing the body of Christ and the eerie similarities they hold to the trials of the early church, and why we are commanded to count them as joy, why we must get serious about overcoming them individually and corporately, and the role that plays in the stunning Great Commission in the Rahabs of today. So start your morning off right with the Simply His Radicals Fall Package. This has a retail value of over $50, now yours for only $37. Get out your phone and scan the QR code on the screen or visit skywatchtvstore.com or call 1-844-750-4985. Start your morning off right with the Simply His Radicals Fall Package.
Welcome back. We are continuing our discussion on the armor of God. This has been fascinating to be talking about all this because I never realized in some ways how much it all ties in. Mm. So we're going to talk about now the feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace.
Mm. Yeah. So, you know, for me, I'm a little bit of a girl. I like to have things and people give me gifts and we do secret sisters. So whoever my secret sister is, come see me after this. We'll talk about but, you know, peace is a gift that my Savior gave to me.
Yes.
So it's important for me. I'm not going to give away my gift of peace. And there's a lot of situations and circumstances that so quickly, if my mind and my heart is not right, I can not just give my gift of peace away, but I can chunk it at somebody. You know what I'm saying?
Use it as a weapon.
I lose my peace. So it's really important for me to hold on to that gift and be mindful of keeping my peace.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is the, you know, the key word also being the preparation of the gospel of peace. So it speaks to having a responsibility to prepare that message to take on a journey.
Mm-hmm.
Shodding your feet had to do with actually really wrapping them for a long distance and having
protection.
A better, it wasn't just a quick flip-flop sandal you put on. It was, you're preparing your feet for a journey. So at the same time, it's like, could you witness if you didn't know what your Bible said? And
mm-hmm.
things like that. Like really get getting ready to carry that message into the world to share the gospel with other people.
Yeah. You talk about losing your peace.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Things like peace, love, joy, those things are choices before they're feelings.
Right.
Now, they're
right.
a feeling, too. I feel happy, whatever.
Right.
But sometimes you don't.
Right.
And you can't just walk into work and bite the head off of everybody. You have to choose. Calm down.
Right.
Have joy.
Yeah.
Have peace.
Yeah.
The fact is, it's actually there. It's a supernatural piece of equipment that God does give us.
Yeah.
But listen, this is not one of those trumped up theologies about how the devil will steal your peace. But the world will.
No,
I mean, you
is.
Get cut
there
off in traffic 13 times
right.
before you get to work, and McDonald's got your coffee wrong and everything.
Yep.
By the time you even get to where you're supposed to be in the morning, you have to have already made a choice 10 times in a single morning.
Exactly.
Today is going to be a peaceful day. You might be at home listening to me and thinking, well, that's easy for her to say. How do you choose? Okay, seriously, there are so many times I have frustrated my husband and he has chosen to love me those days. You know what I mean?
Right. Yes.
I'm hard to love sometimes.
Yes.
My husband has chosen to love
it's an
me.
Action.
I have chosen to love him. If you've had a long marriage and it's successful, you already know what I'm talking about. There are days that love is a choice before it's a feeling.
Yes.
Peace is a choice before it's a feeling.
Yeah,
that's good.
That's real good.
That's very good. The only thing I was going to say is that on those, the Roman soldiers, when they wore their little sandals, they had to strap those things onto their feet. And on the bottoms of them, the little metal things that bolt the leather straps to the soles. And it actually helped them to, it also gave them like a grippage, like
attraction.
A pair of cleats on a football field.
Well, lots of sports use cleats.
Yeah.
So you're
football
whatever.
And soccer.
So I'm looking at this picture of this Roman foot and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, it's thick-soled and wrapped all around and up the leg. And I'm thinking, I just could not imagine somebody trying to sword fight in a pair of, like, normal sandals. Just stepping on rocks. It's the foundation of what the rest of our body feels.
That's
if our
good.
Feet don't feel good, you're going to feel it.
You know that from being in the barn. Like, you wouldn't go to the barn and flip-flops and be around all those
my
horses.
Goodness.
And
No.
Required that you have to cover your toes.
There you go.
And we don't scoop stalls and flip-flops either.
See, there you go.
My word.
Thank you for that. Seriously.
In the New Testament, it talks about how, like, when a town is inhospitable to the gospel, to shake the dust off your sandals and head to the next town. I'm sitting here thinking, those people that are every single day feeling like either the world is rejecting them when they're, you know, talking about the Lord, or they don't have, you know, friends in their circle that even understand them when they're talking about their relationship with God or whatever, it's not an aggressive thing. When you put those two verses together, shake the dust off your sandals and head to the next town, and the fact that your shoes are peace, put those two together, it means peacefully relinquish the anger that you hold within your heart, the rejection that you get from your own circle and your own friends.
That's good.
Isn't that interesting?
That is
it
interesting.
Doesn't say, kick your neighbor on your way out of town.
Right?
Peace. How crazy is that?
Yeah.
That shaking off the dust from your sandals and going to the next town can be a peaceful act.
Not like crazy. Renewing every day. Every day is a new day. It can be renewed, you know, in the morning. That's good. That's really good. You were talking about the movie Overcomer.
Yes.
A while back, I heard a fantastic message by Patricia Shriver.
Yes, who plays the principal,
in case
you're wondering.
And she was talking about Ephesians 6 and how most people, you know, think, well, the armor of God stops at 17. But then you go to 18 and you have to equip yourself with prayer.
Yes.
You know, it's the watch and pray that I always, you know, think about, because I constantly have to stay in communion with him.
Yeah.
And pray in all things, even when I'm doing my hair. Lord, help. Why is this hair doing this? Lord, help me. Lord, help me find a really close parking spot because it is raining and my hair just got done. You know. So praying in all things, you know.
Praying all kinds of prayers. That's exactly what, is it verse 18?
Relationship. Yeah, 18.
It does actually say that. And we actually have a mutual friend named Christy who she prays over every meal before she cooks it. And she swears by this, that the Holy Spirit gives her every recipe. I have never seen some of the concoctions that she makes, but they are wonderful.
They are.
Isn't it crazy? She prays over her outfits. I mean, pray all kinds of prayers.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's exactly
what
the
relationship.
Lord says.
That's communing. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
One, we've said that multiple times even. It doesn't mean that you have to be stuck in your prayer closet for hours on end, but it's exactly that. It's that communication.
Or speaking in King James to him.
Yes.
You know, it's
how
not
do
that.
We pray?
I don't talk like that to my husband, you know what I mean? So I have a relationship with him, so it's a fluid conversation.
There are so many people who are going to relate to what you just said. I grew up with that.
Yeah.
It was that evangelical thing where we're going to pray now, and now my voice goes like this. I'm like, what are you
right?
doing? Like,
what is happening?
It changes.
I was like, I can't even
that's
do
so
that
funny.
Voice.
I must not be praying.
Praying all kinds of prayers does not mean you have to do that.
Exactly.
So you don't have to put on a big theatrical change your voice type thing, which is if that works for you, that's great. That's how you pray. Because I know sometimes when I have conversations with certain people, my voice may change depending on who that person
sure.
is. So we're not saying that you can't be theatrical or have a different type of voice or sound when you're
just
praying.
Not the formula. There's not
yes,
a set
there is
formula.
No formula. You can talk to God however it
absolutely.
Is that fits you. That is what's so cool about your relationship yeah. with Jesus.
It's
is
personal
it's
relationship.
Just that, exactly.
That's
it
right.
is your relationship with Jesus. And to close all of this out, we had mentioned that we would tell you how to put on the armor of God. So basically, how do you put on the armor of God? You put on the full armor of God by believing what God has done for you yeah. through Jesus Christ and by living out the elements of the armor in every area of your life.
Yeah.
So if you are equipping yourself with the armor of God, you're pouring in the word of God into your heart and you're keeping your heart safe from the outside forces. That's what you need.
Yeah.
And don't forget the prayer by reading and worshiping and just spending time with the Lord and creating that personal relationship that we all desperately need to have with Him. I know as a busy mom, it's sometimes very, very hard for me to find that time. And again,
yeah.
I say it almost every episode. My time with the Lord is usually after I've dropped the kids off. I don't always take it when I first wake up because I'm getting lunches
right.
ready. I'm doing all of the things mm-hmm. to get ready for the day. But then I take that little bit of time in between dropping the kids off and getting to my office
yeah.
to pray and commune with the Lord. So just be intentional. If that's the only time you have, that is okay. God understands. But then also keeping that communion, pray
yeah.
through everything. Oh, Lord, I'm having a really hard day to get through whatever this is.
Yeah.
That's all that you need. We're so thankful that you watched with us today, and I hope that you learned something about putting on the armor of God and keeping yourself safe and your family safe. Help them put on their armor.
Yeah.
That is also so important. Thank you so much for watching, and we'll see you next time in the Simply His Coffee Shop.